Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Blood Money: Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans is a 2024 investigative political nonfiction book by Peter Schweitzer. It examines U.S.-China relations through the lens of national security, public health, and political influence, arguing that the Chinese Communist Party is waging an unconventional campaign against the United States while American elites fail to respond decisively. Schweitzer builds the book around a broad thesis of asymmetric conflict, fentanyl trafficking, propaganda, financial entanglements, and cultural influence are presented as interconnected tools of destabilization rather than isolated problems. The book is aimed at readers interested in investigative journalism, foreign policy, and the hidden incentives that shape policy responses. Its purpose is not simply to describe tensions between the two countries, but to connect money flows and political incentives to larger strategic outcomes. In that sense, it functions as both an exposé and a warning about how influence can shape institutional behavior. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, China is framed as waging an unconventional war against the United States. A central idea in the book is that the conflict between the United States and China should not be understood as a normal diplomatic rivalry. Schweitzer argues that Beijing is pursuing a form of unrestricted or disintegration warfare that uses non-traditional tools to weaken American society from within. In this framework, fentanyl deaths, online propaganda, and social fragmentation are not random side effects of globalization. They are presented as strategic outcomes that serve a broader geopolitical objective. This framing matters because it shifts the reader's attention from isolated crises to the possibility of coordinated state behavior. The book asks readers to see public health, culture, and politics as battlefields in a larger contest for influence and power. Whether one accepts every conclusion or not, the value of the argument lies in showing how modern conflict can operate below the threshold of declared war. Secondly, fentanyl trafficking is treated as a national security issue, not only a drug crisis. The book places the fentanyl epidemic at the center of its analysis and treats it as one of the clearest examples of China-linked harm to Americans. Rather than presenting overdoses purely as a domestic law enforcement failure, Schweitzer argues that supply chains, precursor chemicals, and transnational networks reveal a geopolitical dimension. This approach is important because it reframes addiction and overdose deaths as part of a strategic environment shaped by foreign actors, criminal intermediaries, and policy inertia. The book's reasoning suggests that focusing only on treatment or border enforcement is insufficient if the upstream system remains intact. By tying the drug crisis to state power and international finance, Blood Money tries to explain why the problem persists despite broad public awareness. The broader implication is that public health crises can also function as instruments of pressure when they are embedded in global supply networks. Thirdly, political and financial entanglements are used to explain elite inaction. Another major theme is that many powerful Americans have financial, business, or political incentives that make them reluctant to confront China aggressively. Schweitzer's method is to trace investments, family businesses, donations, and commercial relationships that may create conflicts of interest or soft dependence on Chinese markets. The book uses these entanglements to explain why warnings about China do not always produce action, even when the consequences appear severe. This is a classic investigative strategy: follow the money to understand behavior that otherwise seems inconsistent with public rhetoric. The book does not merely accuse individuals of being pro-China. It argues that material interests can encourage passivity, caution, or selective silence. That is a significant analytical move because it links foreign policy to domestic incentive structures. The result is a portrait of elite compromise, in which national interests may be subordinated to financial gain, reputation management, or access to global business opportunities. Fourthly, culture, activism, and media are presented as arenas of influence. Blood Money extends beyond drugs and donations to argue that China influences American culture and civic life through softer channels. The book discusses media, entertainment, technology platforms, and activist movements as spaces where narratives can be shaped and social tensions amplified. Its core concern is not that every social movement is foreign-controlled, but that Beijing can exploit or support divisive currents already present in American life. This is where the book's analysis becomes broader than a standard corruption exposé, because it treats cultural polarization as strategically useful to an adversary. The logic is that a society divided against itself is easier to weaken than one facing a direct military threat. By connecting culture war dynamics with foreign influence, Schweitzer tries to show how information environments can be manipulated to produce political paralysis. Even readers skeptical of the book's strongest claims can still recognize the relevance of media platforms, online networks, and ideological polarization in modern influence operations. Lastly, the book relies on document-driven investigation rather than anonymous sourcing. A defining feature of Blood Money is its emphasis on documentary evidence, financial records, and public source investigation. Schweitzer presents the book as a hard evidence project built from extensive research rather than from unnamed insiders or speculative reporting. That style is central to its credibility strategy. The argument is supposed to stand on traceable records, institutional links, and material patterns that readers can inspect conceptually. This matters because books in this category often depend on insinuation, but Blood Money tries to differentiate itself by projecting forensic rigor. At the same time, that same method can make the book feel accumulative, because it builds its case through many connected examples instead of one single revelation. The result is a work that is part report, part argument, and part warning. Its broader value lies in showing how investigative nonfiction can connect seemingly separate facts into a coherent political explanation, even when the conclusions are controversial. In conclusion, Blood Money is best suited for readers who want an aggressive, document-centered account of China's influence in the United States and the domestic incentives that may blunt the American response. Policymakers, journalists, students of foreign policy, and readers of investigative nonfiction will find the book most useful if they are interested in how public health, campaign finance, technology, activism, and elite networks can intersect within a national security story. Its practical benefit is not only in the specific allegations it makes, but in the way it encourages readers to think in system supply chains, funding channels, influence operations, and institutional reluctance. Compared with many books about US-China tensions, it stands out for its single, forceful thesis and its insistence on connecting social harm to strategic intent. Whether one agrees with all of its conclusions or not, it offers a clear example of how modern political nonfiction can be used to build a narrative of hidden power, asymmetric conflict, and policy failure. For readers seeking a conventional diplomatic history, it may feel polemical. For readers seeking a pointed investigative argument, that intensity is precisely what makes it distinct. If you would like to support Peter Schweitzer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.